So,
Because
yeah.
you do Figure Eight as like a solo project, but then you're in another project too, right?
I do like Figure Eight's like my band, and then I play in like a few other friends' bands, but then I also just like produce and stuff too.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of my not yeah, my two things are that mainly. So
Well, that's awesome that I mean you're doing so much and like you're so active. It's always nice that when you find people that are like are able to kind of fill voids where they're needed and then kind of just help out as much as they can.
yeah, definitely.
Do you have anything that you are drinking on this episode?
I'm not drinking alcohol, but I do have a Arizona that I watched a few, or actually I listened to a few, and then I saw on YouTube that it's also on YouTube. So I watched a little bit of a few. So I
Okay.
have this
Okay.
being yeah in
To
place of a
totally
beer.
fine.
Yeah.
I was just more seeing if you had anything that was crackable because I do open the episode with a crack,
True. I
which
guess this
is
doesn't really, you know,
you can
but
still mimic it while we do it, for the
yeah,
video. So,
word, yeah.
but yeah, no, alcohol is not required on these. I don't want to like ever make anyone like feel bad if they don't drink.
Yeah, no,
So you're
definitely.
good.
Definitely.
So other than that. What we'll do is I'll crack this beer to get us started and then do the little intro, bring you in, and then we'll just kind of take it from there.
Word.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
In
I crack it with
three,
you.
yeah. In three, two, one. Welcome to the Beers and Bands podcast with your host, Michael Torres. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Beers with Bands. This week I'm sitting down with Ryan, aka Figure Eight. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Dude, I'm doing great. I mean, it's Monday, and Mondays normally suck, but I am sitting down with you to talk about your band, and I have some beers in front of me, so I can't really complain too much.
Me as well, you know? We're doing a little podcast. Got my Arizona, like I was saying,
Right?
you
Hell
know?
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
For people that might not know, Figure Eight is kind of like a, and correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, kind of like an emo mixed with like little pop band that you have, and you're based out of Long Island, New York.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much that emo indie stuff.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
it's really, I really like it because it's just very like, I was talking to a friend today and he was like, "Oh, who are you having on today?" And I was like, "Oh, it's this band called Figure Eight. It's like emo, but it's like vibey and like just super chill. And it's just a good listen in general. So like that's the nice thing. What I'm getting at is that's the thing I like about that really drew me into Figure Eight was just it's just so vibey and chill where like it's not like all up in your face, which there's nothing wrong with that to anyone that's listening, but it was just nice to kind of just have something to like play and not have to like overthink it, I feel like.
Word, yeah, thank you. Which is that? Are you talking of the new song, like particularly, or just in general?
So in general, because I mean obviously I did listen to Not Asleep Not Yet, because that was the single I think I emailed you about of like I
Yeah.
found that single. But then also today I went and listened to like Insecure and then all of Any Given Flower as well. And I don't know. I just enjoyed like your whole discography.
Word. Yeah, thanks. I was wondering just because the newer one definitely is a little different compared to
Yeah.
the older stuff. So yeah, it's always cool to hear what, you know, people think of your music, because it, being a smaller band, it's a wide variety of things people have told me, like anywhere from like it sounds like, I don't know, like something I don't sound like at all, to like something that's more, you know, makes more sense, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
Right.
like an old person saying, oh, it sounds like Green Day, you know? And then it's like, oh, thanks. Not really, but thank you.
Close, but not bad.
Yeah.
So like I always thought it funny, like my friends back home that played in a pop punk band growing up, anytime someone would ask, like, oh, what do you guys sound like? They would just say, like, use the typical, like, Green Day or Blink, just because it was too hard to maybe, like,
Yeah.
pinpoint exactly what they sound like. Do you do that kind of that same thing, or do you try and, like, or what's the band that you, like, say, like, oh, no, we
Oh.
sound kind of like this?
Yeah. Like, to people who don't really know about,
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't done that in a while, but I feel like I just say, I guess I just say like alternative. If it's like an older person, I guess I just say like, like alternative rock, because really, it, or anybody who's not really into this type of music, I guess they don't have many references. So I guess,
True.
that's why they'll say like, oh, it sounds like Green Day, because that's all they know that maybe sounds like that. So yeah, I guess I just say like, alternative, because even if you say emo, they won't really know what that, like, what you mean, because there's so many,
Right.
like, it's been through so many phases now, So yeah,
Yeah,
I do
because
my
the
best.
this especially with like your album like Any Given Flower, which for anyone wondering, that came out. It was your first LP
Yes.
for Figure Eight, and it did come out in 2019, which everyone listening, please go check it out. I didn't check out I have yet to check out your first two EPs that came out in like 2017, and I don't remember what the year the other one came out in, but everyone go check
2015.
those out as well. We'll talk links later, obviously, but because that one was really like you have the you like that one I feel like is more like an emo punk album. Like there's hints of it throughout. And then yeah, like Insecure kind of takes a slight shift, I feel like. And then yeah, once you get into Not Asleep, Not Yet, it's like this new like I don't know, like brighter, like fresher, like breath of fresh air type deal of like a different sound. Where did that like come from? Because I know like obviously it's been some time between 2019 to now, and there's been a few singles released, but even like Insecure came out in April, and this is coming out, the latest single came out in October.
Yeah.
What sparked like that change in sound?
Well, the funny thing is I actually wrote Not Asleep, Not Yet before Insecure. But
Really?
yeah. And honestly, the song True Love on Any Given Flower, the album, kinda when I wrote it kinda sounded like Insecure a little bit, like, just I wrote it on just like acoustic guitar, and it was just like, singing in that, and it was yeah, like slower and more like the main riff, if anybody listens to that song True Love, it was kind of just that. And then so it I've kind of sound basically what I'm trying to say is I've kind of sounded like this the whole time, but I made, for instance, that song kind of sound more like pop punky, and like did it up more. So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of weird, because now I haven't, yeah, released music in a while, to be honest. So I've kind of sounded like that the whole time, but now I'm just finally getting to these songs that I've like been sitting on a little bit and finally putting them out. But I guess I've definitely gone a little more towards like the indie route a bit, or at least, stylizing the songs like that, with the production and like how they present to the world, if you will, rather than like making it a pop punk song. You know what I mean?
Right,
If that makes sense.
yeah, I think I get what you're saying. But I mean, it's crazy to think that, at least for me, like as like the listener, that Not Asleep, Not Yet came out before Insecure. Like I know you're saying like
Yeah.
you made things that kind of sounded similar, but I feel like it's you really noticed the shift in the two songs where it almost it, like I would figure it'd be like the opposite way. But I mean, like you said, like they've also been in the wheelhouse for a while. And I think I was like going through your Twitter, and you were kind of talking about how it's been a while since you've started releasing anything. Obviously, we've had pandemic years, life happens to people, but what kind of sparked the resurgence to be like, okay, I need to start getting these songs kind of out there.
Well, it's also funny. I was just remembering this too, is that I have another song. Well, I have a few songs that I'm gonna try to put out next year, or like maybe an album or something to see how, see, we'll see how I do. But those songs sound even more like indie than the last two that came out, and those I wrote in like 2019, funny enough. So yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, it's weird, you know, being the artist on the artist side, and you're like writing the songs, and then like, you know, because obviously that happens with, you know, bands that you listen to, and then you're like, oh, where did this come from? But yeah, the I kind of stopped. Yeah, 2020 was definitely a little bit of a pause for me with Figure Eight. I know for other people it kind of was like the start of a new thing, or like, you know, side project or just like a new band.
Right.
A lot of them came from like 2020 and onward. For me, I kind of took a break from the Figure Eight stuff a little bit, and I was started to go into the producing world a little more, like I was saying before we started. Because I always like recorded my own stuff, and like I would record friends' bands and stuff, but then I kind of went the route of like making like beats. Not, it was not like hip hop, it was kind of like into the like hyper pop stuff. So I went
Okay.
that route a little bit, and then I it was kind of weird, like because the people who like my band, I don't even think they really know that I did that. Like I kind of like I did like a type beat channel and like blah, blah blah, and then got to producing for people. I also like went on tour with Alden, if you know who that is. Really weird arc. And then it was really weird because that also was all starting in 2022 with like those people. But I found that a lot of the people who like emo and pop punk, like a year later, so like 2021, 2022 started to like that genre too. And I'm like, this is so weird. And just like I would like meet a lot of people in that world who were like, oh yeah, I used to be in like a pop punk band, and like I used to be in an emo band, like other like producers and stuff. And yeah, really weird. But that's what I was doing for like 2 years. I'm still doing that, but I was kind of like, you know, had these songs that I have written. Like I was saying, one was from 2019, a few are from 2019 still, that I have in the back catalog, just waiting to come out, or waiting to be finished, to be honest. But yeah, that I was kind of like, you know, I did that, like basically kind of working for other people. And then I was like, you know, I like doing this, but I want to get back to doing my own stuff again, because that's where I really find the most fulfillment, you know. And also I was almost gonna just start a new project too, like, you know, like I was saying, many people did, a lot of my friends did. But I was like, you know, I have these songs that I wrote that were supposed to be for Figure Eight, so like I'm gonna put them out, and just do that. And like, you know, instead of just start a new thing where it's like the same stuff kind of that I was doing. I know it was like a little different, but might as well just like, you know, do the Figure Eight stuff again. And instead of starting over, I don't know. I hate the idea of starting for like fresh. I mean, it's good in some regards, but I just feel like I don't want to start from like ground zero again, you know?
No,
So,
yeah, I 100% get that of like
yeah.
starting completely fresh. But also at the same time, like when you say like no, these songs were kind of more meant for Figure Eight, like
Yeah.
that makes a lot more sense because like I have friends that obviously have started new projects since their other ones have died, whether it was COVID or not. But like their first like releases are like you start listening to it and you're like this, like you have this new band, but it's like you can tell the songs were not meant for this band. They were meant for the previous band just
Yeah.
because of how they all feel. And then you have to get over that hump and then be like, okay, no, like this is the new iteration of whatever. Like this is kind of how they're supposed to be sounding.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. It definitely, I feel like also just like I guess I could, off the top of my head, like, state lines like turned into Oso Oso,
Right.
kind of like sounded like state lines, like the first LP, and then, but then you realize, oh yeah, like, it goes in a different direction. But yeah, a lot of my friends too, I feel like they've also just done it and have totally done something new, and like at by the same token, I guess, if that's the saying. But also a lot of them have gone on to just do a totally new thing and be like really or way more successful with it, and I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should start something new and
Yeah,
just,
that's the other end of the spectrum where I also feel like I don't know if it's just because like the people that I see doing it have been in bands for so long that like it's that they've like I don't know. It's like when you do a job for so long, you understand like what you need to do. So when you start that new project, you're like, this is what I should be doing to do all this. And yeah, I've seen some friends that like their new stuff just gets super good traction right away, and like I'm super stoked for them. But it's just crazy that like you've known them for so long that like you're just happy that it's finally happening for them. But at the same
It's
time, like I
crazy.
see what you're saying, where like you could have restarted and possibly also gotten like into that same like wave or shift. But then it's like that daunting like, will it happen? Will it not? Should I just stay with what I got?
Because, there's definitely a bunch of people who start new things every day, and it's just like, from square one. I also feel like, I don't know if this is true, but I just feel like nowadays with like, Spotify and just how social media is with their algorithms, I literally think that if you're a new, I mean, it's always kind of been like this, but if you're like a new band, or like a new thing, like people like that, and then like it almost seems like the algorithm's like, oh, this is like new, let's but it also seemed like, back in the day when like blogs and stuff were like a bigger thing, like they always, were like, oh, a new thing, like new project from this person, blah blah blah, so I feel like it's almost like you almost kind of have an advantage, my theory. Because I know on like TikTok, it's like people who are like start a new account, something like that. Like they have more, like TikTok likes that. I don't know. That's what I heard.
I think there was something I read where like people are obviously were just trying to like go viral on TikTok. So it's like something where it's like one out of every like X amount of like new accounts like somehow gets a little bit more traction than anyone else. So they'll go and they'll create like 10 new profiles and just like post the same thing on each profile. And like they were able to see like, oh, like profiles like 3 and like 7 gained the most traction, where like the rest of them just like did terribly and did nothing. But it's also crazy because like just how fast of whether you're like shit posting or not on there, like you can just play anything and it can just blow up overnight. Like everyone knows like the band Dury that did like half a verse is all they had for their song. They did it on TikTok and then it blew up overnight. So then they ended up like creating the rest of the song. Now they're doing like crazy tours. And it's just crazy to see that happening now, especially like everything that we've lived through, where it's like now it's in the forefront. Like that's like another way to just try and do it to like get somewhere.
I've definitely heard of like the people making like a bunch of accounts and seeing which one works. So yeah, I feel like it's literally rigged, because it's like I'm assuming those people like put out the same, like the same videos on each, and like,
Oh yeah.
yeah, I feel like it's literally rigged. But at the same time, I've seen some friends do good on there too, and there was this one band who I haven't talked to them in years, but I mean, I guess it was mostly TikTok, but their name is Like Roses. They're from Connecticut. We played with them in like 2016, but I haven't spoken to them in a long time. But they're always cool. But they're definitely like pop punk, kind of like darker pop punk, but I was perusing TikTok as one does, and I saw they had a bunch of videos that have done really well, and like all of a sudden they have like a bunch of listeners on TikTok, or sorry, on Spotify. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That's great. That's good for them. Like they were, you know, like a small band as well with like, you know, probably under 1,000 listeners. Now they're like, I think they're at like 40K. And I'm like, damn, wow, that's awesome. But like, it like people actually really like, you could tell that people actually really liked the music and like went to Spotify and like checked them out, you know? Cause
yeah. That's been something that like I've been trying to figure out is, obviously not like trying to get like listens or like followers on Spotify, because like I don't put it like actual music, but you'll see something like blow up on TikTok, and this point could probably, we'll see how this goes, but you see it like blow up on TikTok, and then you like check out their Spotify and they just have like crazy numbers. And I had been trying to figure out at one point whether like if someone listens to like the clip or whatever on TikTok, like if it's like somehow connected that way, or if it's actually genuinely like that many people found it on TikTok and like switched over to Spotify and actually listened to it there, or like to how the numbers like actually tie into each other. Not saying that like people aren't listening to them, but it's more like, is it tied in? Is it really? But that's just me being like,
yeah, I don't know.
Weird. But but it's awesome that people are able to gain this momentum so fast and like do all these things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a good point though. I don't know about that, but I guess I don't know. I guess that's something to Google after this. Figure that out. Yeah.
I had something, but I lost it. That'll happen. Don't worry.
no worries.
But I mean, getting back into kind of what your releases have been, I know I have everything up as well. Like Any Given Flower came out in 2019, and then after that you released a couple singles. You released Solace and then Hold My Breath, which I think were 2020 to 2021.
Yeah.
In there, and then obviously the two singles that you released this year. With having such like a break in between like releases, like how did it feel to finally be like releasing Insecure this year? Well, actually just the two singles this year. Like how did it feel to finally like get back into the figure eight mode?
Definitely a little weird. I would say that after Insecure, we kind of I feel like I kind of fell off the map a little bit with figure eight Not Asleep, Not Yet came out. Just because, you know, we're not like, we used to like do a bunch of DIY tours and like shows all the time and stuff, but I'm not really I want to like get back into playing shows and stuff more regularly again, but I'm not really focused on that as much, because also that was the thing where I was like booking all the shows myself and stuff. Which is, you know, hard probably as a more known band, but definitely hard as a smaller band, and like doing it all over Facebook. So I'm trying to not like stress myself out with this too much, but I am trying to just like focus more and like, you know, just put out music, you know, promote it as best as I can on the internet, and then maybe play a show here and there, and see how that goes. I'm not good at being active on the internet either, so it's weird to be like, you know, because like I feel like being in figure eight mode is like just would be me like recording and just like being like, all right, I'm gonna work on this, like nothing else, we're working on figure eight today. But that doesn't necessarily, like, you know, people don't necessarily see that, so it's like weird to be like, you know what I mean? it's weird to be like back in the groove of things, but kind of like in the background, you know? Because I have a bunch of songs I need to finish freaking recording, if I want to put out this album next year. So I'm probably going to be doing that a bunch in the next few months and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. You're 100% preaching to the choir. So even though, people see my face weekly, I do this podcast and everything. I like even in my personal life, I don't really post on any of my socials. Like maybe I'll post like a life update every once in a while, but like me trying to like I said, I don't even do that on my personal stuff, and then I switch over to the
Yeah.
Beers with Band stuff and I'm like I don't even know what to do. So most of
Yeah.
the time it's usually like I'm drunk and I'm just like shit posting, or I'll post like every Friday when new episodes come out. So I totally understand that. And it's so difficult, especially like we're kind of going back to like in today's day and age where everything is so you have to be somewhat active on something to like
Yeah.
get people's attention. And like I know a lot of people that also do the same thing that I do that like are on their Twitters every day like shit posting, having a good time. And I just like pop on every once in a while, like scroll through. I'm like, all right, cool. And then I just put my phone back in my pocket. And then I'm like, and then I think back to myself, I'm like, no one is good. Like, I'm not reaching anybody doing this. But then I don't know. It's
Yeah.
this weird, like,
But
double-edged thing.
that's how it like it's you know I feel like it shouldn't be like that's you know being a creative person like and feeling like you need to like be on the internet like all the fucking time. I it shouldn't be like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I do see a lot of people like especially like DIY emo Twitter that are just like on no and I'm not no offense or not trying to like say this is bad, but they're on Twitter like every day, like tweeting stuff and like, you know, or but also it feels like it's like almost not like to make it not to not in like a negative way, but it seems like it is a little click in the DIY Twitter world. And I feel like I'm on the outside of it and I'm just like looking at it, being like, oh, but like I like some of the bands and I'm just like, oh, that's cool. Like they're
No,
doing good
yeah.
stuff.
I feel the same way 'cause like I'm friends with some of the people like they've been on the show or like
Yeah.
there's people that I want on the show and then like even then like I'm still like not I'm like yeah, I'm that one friend that like we're all walking on the sidewalk but I'm walking on the grass. If that makes any sense to
Yeah.
anyone. But then even like with DIY Twitter, which I love everyone there. They started like a there's like a Discord chat, and I was like, okay, maybe this is my chance to be relevant there. And then like, I do the same thing where like I look at it, don't really say anything, and then I'm just like, this is I wasted everybody's time. It's a tough thing, and I don't know if it's just
Yeah.
because like I'm pushing almost 31, and that's what it is, but I don't
Well, I
know.
think Discord is definitely like, I mean, at least to my view, I feel like it's younger people on there mostly or use that 'cause like when I in the hyper pop world of stuff, it's like all those people are on Discord, but they're all like, you know, 7 years younger than me. And I'm just like, I can't like one, I don't know how to use this. Two, I'm like 7 years older than you, so I'm not gonna be on here that much. But yeah, I've seen like bands and other people start to be like, you know, make servers and stuff. But yeah, I don't understand Discord, so I haven't messed with that much. But yeah, I always think, and it's weird because, well, I'm 27, so we're like, I guess we're, what is that, like 4 years
Like 3.5,
ish.
4 years, but
Yeah.
yeah.
But I always think about like back, even just 10 years ago, when it was just like Instagram was just starting to be more popular. I'm like, what? Like bands didn't even, you know, have like to be omnipresent, you know,
Yeah.
to like, you know, it'd be like a band would put out an album and then they would go tour and then that would be it, you know, be like, okay, cool. But now it's like, yeah, I don't know because that's the thing. Like it worked back then, and I know today is a different day, but it's like, I don't think you need to necessarily be just like there all the time. But then again, it's like people, I guess will say that it probably doesn't hurt, or that's, or in the back of your head, you're always like, well, I guess it'd probably be better if I posted more, because that would be better to reach more people. But, I don't know. I'm very overwhelmed by it as well. So I feel you.
Yeah, I always wish that there was like another person that did this podcast with me that was a little bit more unhinged. That way I could just be like, here's the Twitter login. Just have fun. Just don't get me canceled. Just do whatever and just like let it blow up.
Yeah, I feel like that's the good part of like being in a band with like, four people or something. It's like you have the one guy who's like good at Twitter, you do that,
Yeah.
the one guy who writes the songs, the one guy who does this. Yeah, so I feel you on that, because it's just kind of me in this band, for the most
Right.
part. So yeah, it's
Yeah,
hard to be it. Yeah,
I think I
sorry,
talked to
you go.
someone and no, you're fine. I think I talked to someone and they were like, yeah, we kind of split it up. We're like, so and so will do the Twitter because like they're that person that can deal with that. And then like I do the Instagram because Instagram is a lot more chill and just go from there. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's a tough world nowadays for especially like we're saying, like we grew up in the time where it was you post every so often, you want to deal with a band, you catch them on tour when their album drops, hopefully they're coming to a town near you, and then just kind of go from there. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Us old people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do want to mention real quick, if you do go, we'll talk links in a little bit, but if you do go to the Figure Eight Instagram, you have just these amazing like pictures, especially like the backgrounds for like Even Not Asleep Not Yet and like Insecure, like they're like all this foliage and like there I think there's a couple like videos of like you hiking while you're also like promoting stuff.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that aspect just because I feel like it's I don't know there is it for some reason it just felt right for like the project to have like just this like nature stuff that like is posted about. It's like, hey, there's a new song coming soon, and then it's just like this amazing like hike or whatever, and I was like, this just clicks for whatever reason, and I don't know
Nice.
why, but it just works for me.
Well, that's good to know. Because yeah, I like that stuff. So I was like, might as well post that stuff,
Right. This is a question I don't think I've asked in a while, but I know like you're out in Long Island. Obviously, there's a lot of things that happen out there. I know that there's like a decent like metalcore scene and stuff like that, but like when like Figure Eight plays a show, like what's the kind of scene that's like in your section of Long Island, or like where do you have to go? Like what's it like?
Well, I feel like, yeah, the like hardcore scene is definitely in one of its phases where it's like becoming bigger, I guess. I don't know. It feels like it's, oh, like that's the thing. It's like it feels like emo and hardcore have always been in Long Island, and like it's just like all these people that I know, or that I like, friends of friends who have like, again, that are like our age or younger or older. But yeah, depending on like the year, it's like one is more popular than the other. But I wait, so what was the question again?
So like what's the scene kind of like out there? Because obviously like I've had on like Inner Love, I've had a couple of metalcore
Oh yeah.
bands. Everyone knows Koyos from Long Island.
Yeah.
Like in your like the times that you go to shows, like what's your scene kind of like I know you're saying like it kind of
Yeah.
has its waves of emo and hardcore. But is that typically what it is, or is there like this secret like emo scene that no one really knows about?
I would say it's well, I would say yeah, it's mostly like I was saying, mostly just like it's always been like emo hardcore. But yeah, Inner Love, those are my buds. I would John, the drummer, actually has been playing in Figure Eight as like the because again, it's just me kind of as like the live drummer for the past like few shows we've done. But yeah, I've known those guys for a long time, and that's basically the emo scene is kind of like John. It has been it's kind of John and Interlove at this point. He does Golden Hour bookings, which is pretty much yeah, it's pretty much that for emo. And then I think Miles to Go is the name of it. They kind of do more hardcore stuff, but they do some emo stuff too. But mostly it's like there's been shows at the Massapequa VFW Hall here in Long or well I'm actually in Brooklyn right now, but in Long Island, that's where most of the emo shows happen. And then there's also AMH too, which is you know have well, I don't know, where are you from?
So I'm in Minneapolis, but
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've definitely heard of AMH.
Yeah, AMH has been around for a
Like,
long time.
yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like that. Yeah, I would say Interlove is a big part of the scene and John himself. Yeah, so in the emo scene. Yeah.
Yeah, I love those dudes. I think I had them on. I think it's been like 2 years now.
Oh, damn.
But I love seeing everything they're up to and what John's up to. I know he's been touring a lot recently, so
Yeah.
but yeah, it's nice to see that there's at least like some sort of a community, 'cause like is it still at least like one of those spots where like even though you're not in a hardcore band, that the hardcore people are still like not like super douchey and clicky? Or because I know like my scene kind of back home, and this was a long time ago for anyone that's going to come at me for no reason, like the hardcore guys usually just all stuck to themselves, and then like the pop
Yeah.
punk emo kids and everyone else were like kind of our own thing.
I'm probably not the best person to ask because I don't really go to the hardcore shows, to be honest. But
That's fair.
I do like some of the music. I actually was almost in a hardcore band. You know the band Standstill?
Yeah.
They asked me to be the singer, and I just it didn't work out, but I almost was in that scene. And those guys also came from well, I guess they're yeah, well, they always like the hardcore stuff, but like I played with their older bands in like the emo stuff. So I guess there is a little bit of some crossover, but I would say they're pretty separate, to be honest.
Okay.
Except for
No,
like,
I
you know,
mean,
a few heads here and there. But
right.
yeah, because right now I would say like, you know, like I was saying, the Massapequa at VFW is the place for a lot of shows. Like the hardcore shows will get like 200 kids. And then the emo shows will get like 75, you know, on like a big show or something.
Yeah.
So, I would say they're fairly separate, but definitely, yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm not the best person to ask
No,
because,
that's totally fine.
but.
Because like I mean, so like I'm originally from Iowa. I now live in Minneapolis, and I feel like it's kind of the same thing. Like I don't really go to hardcore shows. I love all the bands that are up here that are doing hardcore, and I love hardcore in general. But I just don't go to shows, and I also kind of just from like social media and stuff like that, I see who's kind of in those bands, and I mainly just go to like punk and emo shows if I decide to not be like in or whatever socially. Things are weird. But if I decide to go out,
Not
I don't see them like at the shows, and it's so like it's still Minneapolis is a great place for music, but it's I also see like there's definitely like the bigger circles inside the major Twin Cities circle. It's so I understand what you're saying. Like every scene
yeah.
seems to kind of be, even though it's in a different city, it's all still the same like ecosystem.
Yeah. Like I went to a Fiddlehead show in New York City the other week, and they had like they're kind of like a title fighty sounding band, of course, which I would say that band would have, like, you know, back when they were touring and stuff, would have the crossover of like emo and hardcore people in Long Island and elsewhere. But I went to that show and they had a lot of hardcore bands like opening. So I went there and I like didn't know anybody. Of course, it was like Manhattan, but like I didn't recognize anybody. And I was like, this is weird. Like, it was like the hardcore scene was there. And I was like, I don't really know any. Or it was like, you know, a few, like one or two people. And I'm like, but yeah, so yeah, it's weird. But it, yeah, they're very similar, to be honest, like when you get down to the core of it, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, like, every time I talk to someone, they're always like, oh no, like our scene's kind of like this, and I'm just like, no, that's exactly how everyone else describes it. It's
yeah, insane. Yeah, definitely.
So I know we kind of talked about we've kind of been jumping all over the place, and you kind of have mentioned, you know, you're going to try and record some more songs to put out like an album sometime next year. Obviously, Not Asleep Not Yet just came out at the beginning of October, but do you have any idea for like when the next release or maybe single leading up to this album might be?
Yeah, so, well, not necessarily exact dates. Yeah, I actually was gonna try to put out a song in November, but then I decided to not. I'm trying to do a music video. Ooh, a good one. So I was like, I probably shouldn't try to rush that, you know, and just get that all done. So I'm trying to finish that. And then honestly, I'm gonna try to probably put out a few singles before a full length or whatever I end up doing, probably next year. But also I might try to put out a cover, but I don't know when. I still have to figure out what I want to do. But I was thinking, like, I might put out a cover in between the next single, just because, yeah, I'm still figuring out what I should, you know, when and what, you know?
Right.
And I want to, usually with my releasing, and especially nowadays, I'm very kind of last minute. I think I finished the last single, like, a few days before uploading it to be put out. So yeah, I'm trying to be a little bit more prepared now. Okay. But so yeah, I'm still I feel like next year is probably the time, because, you know, got the holidays coming up. Nobody cares when you put out music then and stuff.
Yeah, unless it's like a holiday song or album, like,
yeah,
it's gonna be slim pickings. But
yeah, everybody's busy, you know.
Yeah, but no, like, it's from like hearing what you're saying and like everything that's coming up, it's nice to see that you're kind of like getting back into this groove of like, okay, I want to keep doing Figure Eight and keep putting out songs. I mean, Not Asleep Not Yet was great to listen to. Insecure was great. The last album was great. I even listened to, I didn't put them on my list of notes, but I also did listen to, you know, Hold My Breath and Solace. Like, I tried to listen to like as much as I could today, and it's nice to hear that you're getting back in the groove, so I can expect this to keep coming, and just, I'm stoked to see what is next after this.
Yeah, word. I'm glad you like the music, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited too to try to, you know, be a little more consistent and put out some new tunes, you know.
I'm also stoked to see what this music video comes out for, because like you said, you're gonna take your time to kind of do what you need to, and you know, obviously I everyone loves visuals. That's why, you know, I started doing the video version of the podcast, and I love music videos, and I mean, that song in general is just super sick, so I'm stoked to see kind of like what your vision is to accompany the song.
Yeah, word. I'm excited too. I'm getting some friends who are really talented to do the music video, and because the other like little videos I put together, I kind of filmed myself as you could see on Instagram. But yeah, I'm trying to do like a good one, a nice one with people who know what they're doing. yeah, so that will be for the, I don't know if it's gonna be the next like single, but it's gonna be one of those singles coming up.
Oh, so it's not gonna be for the latest single. It's gonna be for
Okay. For a new song, yeah.
Okay, hell yeah.
So yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited, you know.
No, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I know we've kind of talked a lot about like Figure Eight, the latest singles, but is there anything like I missed that you want the people to know about?
Probably. I mean, I think we've pretty much hit it. Yeah, just like, yeah, expect some more tunes in the next year, hopefully a lot of tunes, and then hopefully a project, and yeah, hopefully some shows too, I guess. But that's pretty much the bulk of it, I'd say.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Do you have any more like, I know you're also producing still on the side, like do you got any big projects coming up with that as well that people should be looking out for?
Not necessarily, but I'm still doing that. That world is definitely very different. Like, it's like you can make a song in like an hour with somebody and then it comes out in a month, you know. So literally like tomorrow I could end up doing something, but I'm still doing that. But yeah, definitely it's behind the scenes type thing over there. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll get to some socials here in a little bit, but before we get there, we're gonna start to transition to the later half of this episode. I only because I know you were drinking a beverage. Like I normally say, this is Beers with Bands. You don't have to be drinking any alcohol on these episodes because I'll definitely do that for you. But Ryan, what were you drinking on tonight's episode? I know you finished it a little bit ago.
But like, oh yeah,
what,
I did.
What did you have?
Wow. Wait, I didn't even, you know what? I didn't even know I finished it until you said that. But yeah, I have a Arizona, just the normal lemon flavor. It's can't go wrong.
Yeah.
And not the canned version, the bottled version.
Now, do you prefer the bottled version to the canned version?
You know what? I do sometimes because, you know, you go to the deli. So I'm in Brooklyn right now. And you go to the deli and the canned version, you know, I don't trust it. It's just like sometimes there's just like dirt that collects, you know what I mean? Ooh. in the lid. So it's a little upsetting because obviously I would say that's the better version because this is less volume.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of gross. You gotta go with the one with the cap.
I feel like that's a solid reason. Like that's something I didn't think about, like just like all that dirt collecting on those. Like, yeah, like that's a little.
But if you buy like, you know, it in a pack, I don't know if they come in packs, but you know, like a 12 case of beer or whatever, like it's in right. Inside something to protect it. But those ones are just like, you know, out and about.
Just chilling on the shelf.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's something to think about. Everyone that's getting all these teas, like, check those lids, man.
Yeah.
This episode, it's been a few episodes technically, depending on how you look at timeline things. It's been like a week for me. I brought back the Kona Big Waves, mainly because I still had them in my fridge and I have to drink them at some point. You know, still decent. Sure. Like I've been saying on the past few episodes, if there's anything that you think I should be drinking on these episodes, feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a message. And no, I will not drink Rumple Mints on these episodes. Yeah, someone suggested that. And I was like, man, like I want to have like at least a decent time.
Wait, what was the drink?
Rumple Mints. It's like
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's like it's a liquor, but I think it's like a peppermint. I've never had it. I've always heard terrible stories. And I'm just like, I don't even want to go down that route now.
Damn.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah.
That's not a beer, but, you know?
No, yeah, it's what not even heck? Beer. So we'll see. Who knows? Probably not, but But yeah, so that's the at least the little drink segment for this episode, as we glide into the last half of this episode, which is always my favorite part. This is kind of where we talk about some fun stories from your time in music. Obviously, it sounds like you've toured with Figure Eight, you've toured with the other project that you filled in with. As I normally say, these can be anything horrendous to tremendous or any adjective in between. The way I like to think about it is like, think about the stories that you always reminisce about with your friends. Those are usually the best ones that I love to hear.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because trying to think, because it's been a while since we've toured. But there's the one incident that's a bad incident. And I guess I'll just tell this, but so pretty much it was 2018. And we were gonna do a little summer tour, about like 2 weeks, right? And we were supposed to take the guitarist and bassist at the time bought a RV, like an old RV from the 90s. I forget when they bought it, but they bought it, they had it, right? And they were like, we'll take this, but we need to fix it up before we go, right? Long story short, it didn't end up getting fixed up, and like the day before we were supposed to leave, the engine stopped working in that RV. So we ended up taking my mom's car, which we had taken on other like short little tours. And actually, well, we actually took it, we did a similar tour of this nature like the year before that we took that car on, and we got a trailer. So we said, all right, plan B. We gotta like rent a U-Haul like tonight, because we're leaving tomorrow. So we do that, and I guess we've put this car through a lot, my mom's car. We went from New York to Texas and back, or that was the route, and we did that the year before, and we're doing it basically again this year, or in 2018. So we basically get to Texas, and we pull and we start hearing like the engine sounds like a little weird, like on the way to this venue, and we pull into the venue and the car starts smoking as we pull in. Like it was literally just like, I don't know, te terrible or perfect timing, but that happened. And then the person who booked us, we were staying with, and he said he has his uncle who can help us out and fix the car for, cheaper than a, mechanic at a place would. So we said, okay, sure, we'll do that. We were supposed to be leaving the next day, but we had like a few off days. So we said, all right, we'll just stay here and then, take the car just like 12 hours to the next place we're supposed to be at. Long story short, is he, kind of fixed it, and then we went from it was Houston, and then we stopped in New Orleans for the night. And then we were there, and then the next morning I went to the car to get something, and I think I turned it on, and then it just like wouldn't turn on, and I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. So basically we had to bring it to another mechanic. But like this time a real mechanic, like a real place. And he tells us that the engine is broken, like it's done, like you need a new engine. And we're like, we thought it was just gonna be like, oh, this chain is broken, we're just gonna fix it. He says new engine, that's the deal. And we won't be able to like get it for it'll probably be like a week or 2 weeks to fix it. And we had like four more shows like up to New York like that week, and we had to unfortunately had to cancel those. But we were stranded in New Orleans at this hostel for about like 5 days. But thank God it was a hostel, so it didn't cost that much to extend our stay. But we didn't know if we were gonna get home anytime soon. We were all freaking out. But luckily, like they found an engine like closer by that they can put in the car. So they did it, and we were out of there in like 5 days instead of 2 weeks or longer. So yeah, and then we missed those shows, unfortunately. And then we made it back home. We drove 24 hours back to New York, and then we were like, yeah, that was a tough one. And it was so unfortunate because it was the best like planned out tour that we had done. Like every day was a show, but pretty much except from like Texas to Atlanta, I think it was. And that's when the car broke in that window. But it was so unfortunate because like it felt like we were getting a hang of it and like figuring out like how to, you know, do it, like do the touring stuff, and then that definitely knocked us back on the floor for a bit. But yeah, that was an interesting experience, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine what, yeah, that, like, thinking if, like, a few times that I toured, like, what we would have done, like, that would have sucked, and especially, like, replacing an entire engine, like, obviously, it's gonna be expensive and all that shit, but, like,
yeah,
just being stranded somewhere, not being able to, like, do anything, is just, that sucks.
Yeah, oh, and also, we had, like, that trailer, like I was talking about, mm-hmm. So it was just parked outside the hostel, like just the trailer, for like 5 days, and we were like, it didn't get stolen somehow. Like, and we were,
yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, which, you know, and we weren't necessarily in the like best area, I don't think, either. So yeah, it's kind of a miracle that didn't get stolen with like all our gear in it and stuff. So yeah. But yeah, not necessarily a fun story, but
no, yeah, yeah, definitely not fun. But yeah, it's nonetheless, it's so crazy though. Like, just yeah, thankfully the trailer didn't get stolen, because you know people have gotten their trailer stolen while it's still attached to their van, and you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
That's what I mean. I don't know. I don't know how it didn't get stolen. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we just heard that one. That's, you know, a pretty terrible story of your time on the road. Obviously, anyone that breaks down, I feel for you. Like, that's, I can't imagine dealing with all that, especially just being stuck somewhere and like only having so much money, and you're trying to conserve it, of just like not overspending, especially when you got to deal with all that. Like, that sucks. But to counteract it, I usually like to obviously end these episodes on kind of like a high note. So my question for you is, in your time doing Figure Eight, what has been like your favorite moment that you've experienced?
Oh man, that's, that is a hard one, but I think probably like, trying to think. There's definitely been a bunch of good moments, but I would say, I would say in more recent times. So like, Figure Eight usually is a four-piece live with me playing guitar, but it never like felt right, or not right, but it always just like felt like I felt like couldn't really like enjoy myself as much, like, because I'm singing and playing guitar, even though it's like what I do. But we played a show, and I think we've only played this way twice. We played the Massapequa VFW with Inner Love and a few other friends, and it was a five piece, so me just singing, and I was like literally in LA for like one day to play with Alden, the other guy that I play guitar for him, and then I flew back to play this VFW show, you know, the next day. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind, but the show was just like probably the best figure eight show. I had the most fun. And also just like in our existence, not like many people, you know, come, not many people know us or come to the shows. Or, you know, if they do, it's not like much people are singing along, but like it was like finally like, you know, a lot of friends there, but a lot of like just people in the scene in general. And like there's like a picture of somewhere. I don't know if it's just in my possession or if the person posts it, but it's like that what do you call it? Like the quintessential like pop punk pic of like holding the mic and like people are like singing. And I just thought that was a quite a fun moment, you know, to like, you know, because like growing up and like seeing bands with that, I just thought it was fun to finally get that kind of moment. But yeah, that show was just like, it was just for some reason, it was a really good show. And I was drinking at the time, so I was a little drunk. So that probably helped a little bit. But that was like it just felt like, oh, this is how figure eight should be. But again, it's just kind of me, so it's hard to get five people who aren't in the band to play with you all the time. So, but yeah, that was a good, I would say that was probably a good moment. But I would say hopefully there's more to come, because yeah, it's been a lot of ups and downs. Because we, yeah, like we started in 2015, so we've been around for a longer than some more successful bands. But yeah, hopefully. You know, I would say, yeah, hopefully more good stuff to come. But that was a fun moment, I'd say, so far. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I hope that there's plenty more good things coming your way. Like I've said, the singles have been great. I've enjoyed listening to them. Even
Thank
the
you.
last LP, like everything you're doing is super sick, and I really am stoked to see kind of what you do going forward from here.
Hell yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of
Yeah.
course. If anyone's looking for merch, music, or figure eight in general, where can they find it?
Probably Instagram would be the best place. It's figure eight LI on Instagram. And yeah, Spotify too. Probably the two top places for figure eight.
So depending where you found this episode, whether it was, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, or you watched the YouTube version, got to see Ryan's lovely face like I did tonight, make sure you check those hyperlinks down below. Follow Figure Eight on all the socials. Stay up to date for everything that's going on. Be ready for new music. Be ready for that music video coming at some point. Be ready for, the LP, EP, or to be determined coming next year. And just stay up to date with everything that Ryan's got going on. One last big thank you to to you just for stopping by on your Monday and having some tea with me,
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This
Yeah,
is very fun.
this was a great time. I'm super stoked on it, and like I said, hope everything keeps building and going on from here for you.
Yeah, likewise, you as well.
Thank you,
Yeah.
appreciate it. That's gonna end it for this episode, and we'll catch everyone on the next one. All right, see ya.